B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hail! Hail to the king of the Chiefs kingdom forever! Because today, the team that Lamar Hunt founded has just won Lamar Hunt's trophy! Kansas City is the AFC champion! They are headed to Miami for Super Bowl 54!
Feel super, baby! The five-time Super Bowl champions are going back to Miami!
Let's get it!
Have won two Super Bowls, and they're looking for number six!
Super Bowl's decided. What's up, everybody?
Hey, good morning.
How you doing?
Happy work week.
Good to see ya.
Here we go. Off and running on a Tuesday.
I guess we missed the memo about everybody working yesterday.
When did we ever
Fred,
work
were you
on
here
that
yesterday?
Day?
Fred worked.
You know what it was?
Rich worked.
It's the first time in 9 years.
Rich did work, right? I'm not.
Oh, okay. Fred was busting our chops. He said everybody was stupid for not anyone who didn't work yesterday was stupid because you can just talk about whatever you want. And it doesn't matter because no one's listening anyway.
And that is true. There was no one working yesterday. It was
how many stupid takes?
I said
still here?
Because it's 10:02 and I was putting my things away. Is why I'm still here.
It's not like 11:30.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's not noon. What I said is, why would you take a random day off in January where it's 14 degrees and it's right after the championship games and there's no one listening, so you can really just do whatever you want.
We didn't take a day. It's a holiday.
You know what it is,
talking MLK.
By the way, make
the state pay.
It's 9 years of exhaustion.
I don't blame you.
It's nine straight years that I worked that day, and it's championship Sunday, whether home or away. And we would always come in because the Patriots just either won and we're going to the Super Bowl or lost and we're getting eliminated.
Oh, I don't blame you for taking the holiday, but
said,
I just thought it, I just
yesterday's not
was
that
wise.
Day.
And here's what we ended up doing every single year was we would do the show on Monday and then come back and have to redo it all again on Tuesday because the people calling in didn't hear any of the stuff we were talking about.
They're going to be repetitive, and nobody wants that.
Yeah.
Well, then they don't listen.
Coming out flying with machine guns today. How about that?
All right. Well, you guys have a wonderful show. I'll get out of here. I've overstayed my welcome, apparently.
See you, Fred.
Yeah, we missed that memo.
Yeah. Who was on for us yesterday?
Jones.
Okay. Hey, what's up, Dad? Big Paul down in Florida. I left him. Saw him yesterday. I said, I'll see you in 14 hours, which is great. So my flight was good. I got in late last night.
And by the way, Hardy, before we go on, I'd do it all over again. I never want to work that day ever again unless the Patriots have a game the day before.
You know, I had a great day.
Had an awesome day.
Rick, I'm out next year. I'm not doing it.
I think you're there, all the idiots.
Yeah.
What if it's 1 o'clock Bruins game?
Scott Zolak does not think the Patriots are going to be in the AFC Championship next year. He just said it.
That doesn't mean.
That's how I took it.
Like Bill Parcells said, I reserve the right to change my mind. Okay? And I got a quick story from last night.
You have to credit somebody with that phrase.
And I knew somebody ruined our show yesterday because I landed midnight.
Parcells and Bedpath?
So two things happen. First of all, I get to the gate, and there's William Benditson, and he's on the same flight as me.
The Maven.
Yep, the Maven. Hey, my good friend. The joint used to do the radio with you, and I haven't been on in a while. So we got that all out of the way.
All right.
So I land. And thank you, Mr. Marty Walsh and Massport, for reconfiguring the rideshare location at the airport.
Did you have to walk a little bit, Princess?
Oh, no. I found out exactly where this rideshare location is.
It's in the central parking garage, right?
You've got to go to the far end of the central parking garage. There's a space on the other side to make it extremely difficult for anybody wanting to use the rideshare leaving the airport. Now, I can take a ride share to the airport. They dropped
you off. I don't think Marty Walsh is the guy you want to blame.
I don't know. Pretty sure it's or whatever his Baker, passport.
Because who has been
you,
on that one?
You, he's Chaz.
State, it's a state-run thing.
Chippy passport. Bakes there. And I'm like, what did I see you Chucky next time, Bakes. Chuck? I'm going to give it to him next time I see him. He knows it. I tell Bon Jovi that. I'll give it to Chucky Baker, too.
Wow.
I love Chuck. So I jump in a cab right away. You walk right out. Boom, you're in a cab. I get picked up by this nice gentleman from Maine. Rumford, Maine. And he's driving. And, you know, he gives you the look when he puts the bag in. I'm like, okay, I think he knows who I am. Now we get in the car, and he goes, you know what my middle name is? I said, no. He said, it's Scott. I bet your middle name's Scott. I said, nope, it's David. He goes, Scott, your name? I said, yeah. He goes, damn it, I knew it. He said, press number one right here on the radio. This is in his cab. He pressed number one, preset, 98.5. He said, you got to do me one favor when you get back. You punch that Adam Jones.
Let's hear it.
What?
Let's hear from the cab driver himself.
Oh, I said, can I tape this for the radio? He said, hell yeah. Who do you want to punch in the face? What host?
Adam frickin' Jones.
You hate Adam Jones.
He's
I just landed in Boston, and I'm getting hounded about Adam Jones. What did he do while we were gone? He screw our show up?
Listen, you want to take another quarterback over Tom? Take that quarterback with the offensive line Tom had to deal with this year.
There you go.
Thank you.
That's what you get. Anti-Jones. Anti-Jones, right? I mean, I'm in Boston 1 minute. People want to punch Adam Jones in the face. Like, one day we leave. So maybe we should work next year.
Unless the Patriots play the day before, I'm out.
What'd you take away from the weekend?
Well, I took away that the Packers are the overrated, stupid mess that I thought they were. Glad that came true. What a bunch of morons that team is. That's number one. And I took away that, well, it's interesting that the 49ers ran the ball as well as they did and didn't put the ball in Jimmy Garoppolo's hand. Thought that was really interesting.
I have a good take on that.
I know.
Never thought of it. My dad maybe.
In the AFC, the clip we heard, the speed of Kansas City really is remarkable. It makes Patrick Mahomes' life so much easier, and it makes him look so good. It really does. He had a great weekend, as did the Chiefs. And the Titans just couldn't ride the Derrick Henry wave any further than they did.
They ran out of gas. They maxed it out. They maxed it out. They had one hell of a run. One thing I take away is one word from the weekend. And I always look at it when you watch other teams advance. How does it relate to your team and the state of your team, and why is your team not out there? Speed. We are slow. We're a slow-ass team. We may be well-coached. We may be well-positioned. And I say that because I go back to Baltimore.
Can't teach speed.
Where you've got Lamar Jackson flanked outside. And there's our guy, Kyle Van Noy, squeezing him back in. Pushes him back inside. Here comes a linebacker. Uh-oh. He slips and falls. He shakes that guy. Next thing you know, he bounces it to the sideline. Oh, corner misses him. He walks in that way. Yeah. Speed. Speed.
Did you feel worse about the N'Keal Harry pick over the weekend? Because I did.
Oh, and I got this other take. I got so many takes.
I started feeling worse about it as the weekend went on.
I have so many takes.
Watching other, and I like, see, I like the N'Keal Harry type of receiver. I do.
I do too.
Right?
He might be good.
And it's a great,
he might end up being good,
compliment to your offense. It should not be the first round pick. This is the guy you want to mold into being your best wide receiver. He's just never, I don't think he's ever going to be that. And so I feel worse about that pick with the draft capital they used and the guys that were still on the board that went later that are already contributing to their teams. And, oh, by the way, can run. They have speed.
Oh, that thing I said, speed. Yeah, that
they
is.
They have speed because the speed, as you said, is so lacking compared to other teams in this league and the guys that are playing on the, you know, the final four weekend, if you will, of the NFL.
Yeah. And I also think that rookies can play skill levels at the high level games and play in this league immediately. You've been seeing that. Even going back to the Seattle game last week, you know, Metcalf's done it all year. You know, Deebo Samuel. I'm talking about backups. 84. What the hell's his name from? Guy was on a freaking practice squad a couple weeks ago. He's stepping up, catching, making catches. AJ Brown. AJ Brown looks like he wants the ball. He looks involved in that offense. Derrick Henry looks slow this weekend, but he's strong. And when you have Davis and you have him, and now you've got the slot receiver back, like, holy crap, Tennessee can be a spot Brady could end up at. because you've got the perfect three. You've got Brown, Davis, and you got Matthews. You got a hell of a back. Hey, how's your offensive line there? Pretty damn good.
Back's a free agent.
Based on the fact that back got held to less than 70 yards, he might not make the type of money they make now. He helped get him there, and they rode him down the stretch, but not really a factor this weekend.
Give Tannehill 20 and Henry 10 or Brady 30.
Hell no. That game killed Ryan Tannehill.
I gave you an option. You give Tannehill 20 and Henry 10 or Brady 30 with no Henry.
I give Brady 30.
Well, because I think at the end of the day,
you can find a back.
You've got to be able to throw.
You can find that style of back. Do you? Look at San Francisco.
No, you do, because the threat is still there with San Francisco.
Right.
You know the ability of the guy playing quarterback.
They can throw if they have to. And I wonder how much his dad helped him with that game plan. Meaning Mike Shanahan. His son, Kyle Shanahan. Because that's the freaking Denver offense back when they kicked our ass. It's engage, dance, slide. We're not going to maul people. We're going to wall people off. We're going to go outside. We're going veer, and we're going to crease it. We're going to go. Whether it was Portis, whether it was Anderson, whether it was Gary. Give me more names, Jim. Davis, the stretch run off tackle. And those guys better be able to fly. All those backs from San Francisco, sub 4-4. Who's this guy, Mozart? Some artist. Runs for over 200 yards. I remember that guy. We were on the road early in the year. This is back when I think Berea got nicked up and Coleman was there. And this kid, 31, got in. I didn't remember his name, but he ran hard.
Berea. Berea. Yeah, I know what
Same
you mean.
Same thing.
Berea. I know what you mean.
Berea and Mozart. Good combo.
Yeah, damn it.
So
artistic. So I remember that guy's number.
I have so many thoughts spinning in my head right now. On this and on the Patriots all of a sudden with Derrick Henry.
We were in trouble. We're in trouble with speed, man.
How about Derrick Henry and quarterback X for the Patriots or Brady?
I'm so confused right now.
I was actually talking about the Titans.
No, I know that. Now I know what you were talking about. Jared Stidham and Derrick Henry or Brady.
I know what you're saying. I don't know if Henry works here because of what he has around him and the threat out down there. It's all complimentary, man.
Well, yeah, they also have a pretty
good offensive line that mauls people.
That played really well.
Conklin, all those guys. Those guys maul people.
All right, so offensive line improvements.
Oh, man.
Derrick Henry, Jared Stidham, or keep it as is and sign Brady.
And no, Brady needs help here. You get it.
Right?
Brady's got more bargaining power after this weekend.
He does?
Yes.
Okay, good. You're going to explain that to us coming
Absolutely.
Up. I want to know why he does. I think he has plenty of bargaining power to begin with.
Backup handed off seven. He threw seven times. Seven.
I think that was just a game plan, wasn't it?
Oh, bull crap.
All right, we'll talk more about this and Brady as there are new reports about Brady's future.
They played C.J. Beathard.
And we're talking about the Super Bowl teams now for the next couple of weeks and the games, obviously, that happened over the weekend. In both the AFC and NFC. All this on the table. Shaughnessy joins us at 11 today. We'll also talk some hockey later this hour with Billy Jaffe. A lot to get to on this Tuesday.
Zoe and the Beatles.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Finally, Tom, you continue to dominate the news around the National Football League. You've had a couple of weeks now to decompress. Are you coming to grips with the realistic possibility that perhaps, you might play for another team, and are you willing to do that?
Well, like you said, it's only been a couple weeks, and you know I've had a lot of time with my family the last couple weeks, and just decompressing from the season, and spending time with them. So I've said earlier, I'm open-minded about the process. And, you know, at the same time, I'm, you know, I love playing football and I want to continue to play and do a great job. So I'm looking forward to what's ahead. Whatever the future may bring, I'll embrace it with open arms. And in the meantime, I'm going to watch these two games today as a fan and enjoy them from my couch.
Couch potato, Tom Brady. Won't be a potato, probably avocado.
That's right. Either one. Something healthy, baby.
I'm sorry. At what point does that get...
Like the avocado
joke? Does that start to piss Brady off?
Enough already, like, right?
Jesus, how many times can you go to avocado? Man, avocado ice cream. Avocado. I'm tired of avocado. I like avocado. So he's going to embrace it. Why wouldn't you?
That's what he says.
That's how you create leverage.
He says he's open-minded, as you just heard him say.
Oh, nice. Bless you.
Tom Brady, you okay over there?
Yeah, he's got Lyme.
My Lyme's acting up.
Dude, I'm just diagnosing you, and you don't need to go see any doctors.
Between you and Dr. Google, I'm convinced.
Dr. Heather, too. Dr. Heather will tell you exactly what you have.
Jason Lockenfora had a report over the weekend. I always take Jason Lockenfora reports with a grain of salt.
Yep, you have to.
I always tell you to do that. But as a reporter for CBS Sports, he says this. Tom Brady is prepared to discuss a future with teams beyond the Patriots, sources said. And for the first time since he took over as a starter nearly two decades ago, the Patriots are unsure of who he will be under center in 2020. He says it would be extremely surprising if Brady were to agree to any new pact with the Patriots prior to the start of free agency in March, I'm told. And while his process could still result in a return to New England, it is far from certain at this point. Brady intends to take a methodical approach to his first foray into free agency, as at age 42, this will be the final contract of his playing career. Okay, here's the thing that I take out of this report. The one significant item, if true, and that is that he is not going to be signing a deal prior to the opening free agency.
And that hurts the Patriots.
It does.
Because the 13.5 kicks in right away. That puts you behind the eight ball cap-wise right away.
You know, if he's being told, it'll be extremely surprising. This, by the way, could also be posturing. Do not rule that out. Tom Brady is not beneath... it is not beneath him.
You don't think he and his team know that the $14 million accelerator is there? Come on.
No, they do, but in terms of how you're going to approach things.
You want him back, you should probably start picking up the phone because we got to get this done before March, right?
No, but this could just, you know, be him doing his thing, trying to whip someone into a panic.
Totally normal.
The question is, will the Patriots panic? Will they say, damn, we got to talk to him. We got to get this done before the 18th, because we want to make this as favorable to us as possible in managing the numbers this year.
Well, and it may, because even Bill addressed this at the end of the year. Like, this isn't a one-man decision. This is, you know, Tom's an iconic figure here, one of the most iconic figures in the organization. There's ownership, there's Tom, there's me. You know, this has got to be everybody on the same page. And I do believe that if Bill looks at it, he's sitting there and he's thinking, okay, these teams. We could be there if we did this, that, or the other. Can Bill win 12 games with Tom? That's pretty much a guarantee, right? Can Bill win 12 games with Stidham? That's not a guarantee. See, that's the thing. As much as they may want to separate, and I think Brady gets extra bargaining as you look at this too, because, okay, Edelman had the best year statistically, but he was hurt pretty much the entire year. See, I think Edelman's going to be a machine next year, so put that guy in place.
I don't.
I think Sanu will be better with a health and an offseason under him in a different role. So I think those are your two guys. You need to find...
I don't bet on receivers at 34.
Well, I'll bet on
him. Hope for the best, but I don't bet on 34-year-old
receivers.
Can
he move sticks? I think he could still move the sticks. You need a stick.
I think he'll still be a useful guy on the team.
Mentally, for that quarterback, I think it's essential.
Certainly a contributor, but I don't think you can rely on Julian Edelman the way that this team wanted to.
But then there's Tom.
You've got to put other pieces on the field. You can't just bank on Edelman.
Right. And there's Tom saying, hey, guys, I've been telling you this since last May. We need more. Why do you think I was acting the way I was acting after wins? Because even though we're 8-0, I know in the long run, we're playing crap teams right now. When we play good teams, it's not going to be good enough. And when they play the good teams, know, that type of talent down there in Houston and the receivers they have. Tom's looking at, there's Patrick Mahomes. Look at what he has around him. Look at what Garoppolo has around him. I'm not even talking running backs. I'm talking receivers. He has the best tight end in football. And they added Sanders while you added Sanu. Now, I don't regret the Sanu signing, because at the time, everybody said that was better, because everybody assumed Sanders was cooked and he was hurt. So you gotta go with your gut on that one. But they got other speed on the outside. You got Samuel. You got other guys that could go get the ball. And they're going to find more. Look what Dallas has around them. Like, look at what these good teams that could push the ball downfield. Even Devontae Adams just running by Richard Sherman. Whether or not Rodgers played well or not, but late in that game, they started to make some plays.
Okay,
Graham going down the seam.
One other interesting part of this story is Brady is also eager to take on the role of mentor to a young quarterback, no matter where he plays, hoping to leave any organization in good shape when he retires.
Hasn't he kind of done that, though?
Part of his
way?
No.
But if you're in a meeting, have you heard what like Stidham has taken from him at this rookie symposium, this year-ending thing, like how much he's learned from him?
It says
just
here,
watching him.
Part of his legacy, he believes, could be tied to seeing future generations embrace the TB12 training and lifestyle regimen.
Well, that's different.
That Brady strongly believes has helped him play so long.
Look how good Ben Watson was.
At such a high level. Huh. Interesting. So he wants to mentor a young quarterback now? That's not who he is. That's not who he
maybe not mentor,
who he has been.
When you look at your priorities when you're a young guy, like you're out partying.
Do you think he mentored Jimmy Garoppolo?
No.
Do you think he mentored
Garoppolo,
Jared Stidham?
I think he helped Garoppolo. When you sit back and you try to absorb it and watch, if you think the guy in front of you is damn good, and this is the way things are supposed to be done, you do absorb a lot of that.
Yeah, but Tom Brady competed with Garoppolo. That's how
he
treated it.
Right.
Like competition.
See, I think people assume there's this utter dislike and ignorance between the two, where one wants to ignore the other, where it's not that. I mean, he's had Garoppolo on those trips to the freaking Kentucky Derby with him on his private jet. I mean,
yeah, with 25 other guys.
Yeah, but still, he gets the invite. Like, what, do you think I'm doing that for looks? I should play Jimmy, because it's not, you know? So, I want to get on that plane.
He wants to mentor. Why does he want to mentor someone? Is it because it's more about the TB12?
This is that Mike Reese, Bill Belichick to Josh McDaniels. I will show you the world. You know, I'm going to be careful with these. Okay.
Wants to mentor young. So is that.
Do you think Bill really mentored Josh McDaniels?
Do you know what I think that could be?
Get back off that plane.
That could be a sales pitch on Brady's part to go to a team that already has a quarterback in place, a young one, like the Giants.
Daniel Jones.
I want to mentor Daniel Jones. It's going to be tough for him. You're going to have to put him on the bench for me. But. I'll mentor him. I'll make him into me.
Wasn't that kid 28-12 or 28-14 touchdown interception ratio at the end of the year?
I thought he was fine. Around him sucked for the most part.
His numbers, I think, were almost identical to Garoppolo's.
I don't think he was terrible. I thought he was decent. I think there's something there.
But he didn't play the entire year, you know?
But Brady wants to mentor someone now. So, nice. Go ahead if you're one of these teams like, let's say Tennessee. Draft your next quarterback, and I'll mentor whoever it is you get in there. Don't keep Tannehill. Tannehill sucks. Look, he couldn't throw in the playoff game. I feel like that's another thought, by the way, from the weekend. Tennessee proving that they don't have a quarterback that they can rely on to throw the football when you have to throw the football.
Yeah.
Shows you they can't stick with Tannehill if they want to keep that going there.
He's a nice piece. John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, I thought, got as much out of that football team as they could have gotten out of the football. That team was up to 17-10, and they just ran out of gas once. The Chiefs got going.
They can't throw.
The Chiefs, and I tell you, Patrick Mahomes covers up so much for stupid things that the Chiefs do. Like that 3rd and 22. There was a 3rd and 22 during that game where if you're Steve Spagnuolo, back up. Let's go zone. Let's get the guy down. They're in field goal range. They get called for a PI. Then like Frank Clark jumps off sides, almost kills the quarterback. They do it like three times. They're still doing the same stupid things. But yet their offensive talent is so freaking good that it masks any dumb things that they do. It really does. Patrick Mahomes saves their ass all the time.
There's this from Life and Style as well. You ever read Life and Style?
I've read this, yes.
The January 27th edition of Life and Style.
This is good.
Has Giselle on the cover along with Tom Brady, and it says,
Angry Tom.
Giselle dumps Tom. $600 million divorce nightmare. Fights, lies, and separate bedrooms.
Betrayal.
Nothing he did was ever good enough. Why she hated their Massachusetts mansion.
Hang on. Didn't she help design it? Didn't they already, after she retired, didn't her and Tom get together with the...
Well, she retired from Runway.
And I just remember from other multiple articles of those two sitting down how much they love the input of building houses and how even Brady said, I think in one of his post-career things, he would love to get into house design.
Yeah.
Because they customized the house out in Beverly Hills with the moat. She wanted the moat to go around.
The one they never lived in, yep.
Yeah, the one Dr. Dre said, I'll give you $23 million more than what you built it for.
Right.
Now, I have some quotes from the story that GossipCop.com
she doesn't like the
published house
she designed. That's funny.
And Gossip Cop says
I'm glad you have some more quotes because so far, and I talked about this the other day too, nothing beyond the headline.
The tabloid claims that Giselle is, quote, begging Tom to retire. The outlet quotes a source saying,
heard that before.
Giselle puts up with his training and game schedule, but she hates that he's away from home so much. Nevertheless, the source alleges that Brady and Bungeon have been, quote, having some nasty blowout fights over his refusal to retire. One was after Giselle told Tom that a psychic told her to leave him.
Okay. Okay, now it's on.
Of course, he told her that was ridiculous and laughed at her. They've said some really ugly things to each other. It's gotten really bad. Some friends think there's no going back.
Ooh. How many friends do you think are allowed in that house when they're all in there?
How many friends? And look, it's nonsense. Life and Style magazine, whatever, they made it all up. But we've heard this before from Giselle. And Tom has talked about it too. The sacrifices, being away from the family. But how many friends of yours have to travel once a month for work? Do you have any friends that have to travel a couple few days every month?
I got a guy in my neighborhood that is out of the country at least three times a month.
Right. So,
out of the country, not down to New York.
His are compacted, granted, but like those trips to Buffalo and those trips to New York that he has to make every... You are on the same travel schedule. When you guys have a game in Buffalo, when do you leave? When do you leave your house for a Sunday 1 o'clock in Buffalo?
1:30 on Saturday.
You leave at 1:30 in the afternoon on Saturday. When are you home?
8 o'clock Sunday.
A day and a half.
Our furthest trip was Houston this year.
You're gone 2 days, like door to door.
I think it's about the number of hours he spends away from home.
I think it's.
Do you have any friends who work long hours, go in early, and have to stay until 4 or 5 in the afternoon?
Her standards are not realistic. It's not real people.
Well, it's not just her. I'll take it off of Giselle.
We got more of this.
Hearing Brady talk about it too, the sacrifices and how much time you put in. You're 42 years old. You're in your prime working years. This is the one thing I will say about him. He has no idea what it's like to be me. Well, if he doesn't like being away from home because he has to work so much, that's the world. That's what all of us go through. Everybody has to work. Everybody has to work sometimes more than they want.
I think we're arguing different points here. We're just trying to figure out if there's any truth to the divorce.
I got another point.
Because if they're getting divorced, that changes where he would go. That changes sort of the outlook here. If they're getting divorced and living separate lives, Star Magazine last month claimed that Brady and Bunchen were living separate lives. So two gossip rags are saying that they're getting divorced. Another one said they're already living separately. If that's true, Hardy, I think that opens the door to a lot more teams if all of a sudden he's not living with his family anymore. So who knows? You got to go to Gossip Cop and all these gossip places to get all the gossip. TMZ.
You got anything on like Los Angeles or West Coast in there?
How about Vegas? Vegas? We'll talk about the possibility of Vegas and the Raiders after this. Hardy has some Red Sox news in his headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
First, our introduction.
Zolak, Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
With us tonight, only the greatest of all time, six-time Super Bowl champion from New England, the Patriots, Tom Brady.
Oh, now you want to talk about Tom Brady, right? What was he what? Oh, how would you not like to fight? I thought, when she asked me the question earlier, I thought you guys were going to ask me, hey, Tom Brady was here. Davis was here. I saw them talking. What's going on? Are you guys Las Vegans or what? Come on, man. If that dude isn't playing for Boston, he's playing here. All right? So, I don't know. No idea what I'm talking about, but...
All right, Dana White, his comments don't concern me.
No, but that guy right there with the weird haircut should.
Dana White is a promoter, right? He says things that get people's attention. He loves Tom Brady. He loves New England. He loves the Patriots.
Dana White
all
is...
All that stuff.
He's sort of like Don King. Yeah,
not to that degree, but...
I'm gonna tell you, this is the way it is.
He's just a guy that knows how to, you know, get people talking about something. So that's Dana White. His comments didn't concern me all that much. You know whose comments did? And it's not just comments. It's a report. Pat McAfee on ESPN. Here's what he had to say about Brady's weekend at the UFC fight.
How do you like the idea of Brady in Las Vegas?
I think Tom Brady has played this season perfectly. He's maestroed this thing. Every single word that he said, even going back to post-game press conferences after games this season, has been completely cerebral. He asked out of his contract after 20 years, says he wants to control his destiny. Now, anything he does is going to garner conversation. Now, much to the chagrin of Patriots fans, but him talking to Mark Davis, and I had some inside sources that were at the fight watching old Conor McGregor beat the hell out of Cowboy Cerrone. But they said those two were talking for like 20 minutes or so. And I'm not sure what the conversation could have been about. Could have been about a new barber for Mark Davis, maybe. Could have been about how the Raiders have operated, possibly. But I think the much more likely thing is Mark Davis catching a little temperature on what Tom Brady's feeling, how he's thinking. And are the Raiders a potential home for him? New city, new franchise, new stadium. John Gruden would absolutely love and relish that opportunity. Is Tom Brady the perfect fit for the Raiders? I don't think so, but I think the Raiders would very much welcome the opportunity to have the GOAT on their team.
I think the Raiders are in the final three.
There's one thing that stands out there. They spent 20 minutes talking to each other. I saw the photo of them talking.
Mm-hmm. Jim Gray was sitting with
And you think
too.
It's, hey, Mark, how are you? Good to see you. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, he's still an NFL owner. You look at him and you say, no, he's not. But he is. And so I don't think that would be unusual for Tom Brady to say hello to an NFL owner, regardless of his free agent status. If this had happened,
I agree. If that was 2 years ago, or Jerry Jones,
you know, when he was at the boxing match a couple of years ago,
he does these things.
If Mark Davis was there,
he travels with Kevin Plank. So
if Mark Davis was there, he would have said hello to him. I don't think that's unusual. But the fact that he spent 20 minutes talking to Mark, what do you talk about for 20 minutes with Mark Davis?
You got new stadium and your coach. Tell me, how's Coach doing, Gruden? You know, and you know, how's it been going, this and that? And like, this stadium looks really good. I might like to take a peek at that thing.
That's okay. The whole point, Zo. That's the whole point. Would he be asking those questions 2 years ago?
No, that's
what's
why
the
I think they are in play.
What are the facilities going to be like?
$5 million really? Cap hit.
Where's the practice facility going to be? How's Gruden doing? How's he adapting to being back in the NFL? You know, what do you see as some of the What are you kidding me? He's doing recon here. This is what Brady's doing.
They have $100 million to spend. Oh, yeah, it's a $5 million cap hit to get rid of Derek Carr.
Do I think that Brady is or Mark Davis, as silly as he looks, do you think that they are dumb enough to sit there and talk about, do you want to come to the Raiders?
No,
they're not. They're
absolutely
not that stupid.
Not. Nope.
They're smarter than that. But they can sit there and talk about the stadium and talk about facilities and talk about the coaching and talk about the front office. They can talk about all kinds of things that have nothing to do with Tom Brady.
Now, I know Brady.
Yet could have something to do with Tom Brady.
Brady has gone to Vegas a bunch because he does like to golf there. Hardy, I don't know the name of the damn course, but there's one course that he loves to go there to.
The Wynn course?
I don't know.
That one,
but I do know that for a fact that he does like golf trips to Vegas. And if he's talking today, Mark, where are you living out here? Like, what part of Vegas you live? You know,
I know he's played the Wynn course. He's buddies with the director of golf out there.
Pierocki set him up, man.
Shadow Creek. He's probably a Shadow Creek guy. In addition to the Wynn golf course. Yeah, out of all the scenarios out there, this is the one that I find.
I think this is in play. I really do.
This is the one that I find among those I don't immediately scoff at and say, no way. I could see that. I could wrap my head around that.
Can you sell your lifestyle out there?
Yeah.
Is it like a Miami or is it like a California, you know, health conscious kick out there? Or is it too degenerate?
Well, look.
You know what I mean?
Not to take anything away from, you know, the health aspects of it, but it's a town full of people trying to look good. Isn't that kind of what it is, too?
I watch Flippin' Vegas all the time with Scott and Amy, the two.
I caught one of those episodes this past weekend. Real estate.
700G, and you're in a five-bedroom, freaking three-car garage on a golf course. I'm like, I could do that.
He could buy what's-her-name's house. Celine Dion. She left. That house was for sale still? It's available, I think.
What's it called? Oh.
She's bad. She's in Florida now. Yeah. I wouldn't rule them out. I would not rule them out. 20 minutes with Mark Davis. That had to be painful.
Maybe they're reminiscing over AB. Okay.
Let's talk to Billy Jaffe about the Bruins. We'll do that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Well, you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Malkin drills it ahead. Bruins have it with five. Right circle, Pastrnak shoots, and that one deflected wide. What a giveaway that was. Right circle, Carlo couldn't fire off that shot as his stick shattered, and Matt Murray gets congratulated. The Boston Bruins squander a three-goal first-period lead as the Penguins rally back and split the home-and-home set against the Bruins. Your final today in Pittsburgh. Penguins 4 and the Bruins 3.
Bruins blow a 3-0 lead. Let's welcome in from Nesson, Billy Jaffe. He joins us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hey, Billy.
Hi, Beetle. What's up today?
Hi, Boo. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Zoe. What's up?
Last time we talked to you, I mean, the feel-good story coming out of that first one against Pittsburgh was you gave up that goal, what, 23 seconds in, and then it straightened your asses out after that. And then you have this type of game. What worries you the most about this?
Well, you know, this story we've seen now, unfortunately, play out two times in a week, basically, you know, between the Philadelphia game and then this Pittsburgh game. And that's the most concerning. And I've said that numerous times to you guys before during this malaise of at least record mediocrity that they can't put things away. They can't extend leads. They can't hold on. That's the biggest concern. Right now.
Is it the time of year, Bill? Know. Like, I mean, we do this every time for the trade deadline or, you know, halfway through the All-Star game. Like, what do you lose? Not focus, but it becomes a grind.
It sure does. I mean, every long season does become a grind. I mean, I don't know if there's a grind time in football, given that you guys, you know, the football season is such significantly less.
Week nine.
Okay. So, are we at week nine, you know, theoretically for the hockey season? Yeah, but this whole month, almost 6 weeks now, has been a week nine for the Bruins, basically. And, And they know that they need to be better, but saying it and doing two different or doing it are two different things. You know, I mean, last year at this actually it was the end of December, right before that holiday break, they blew two-goal leads, I believe, consecutively. I know one of them was Carolina, if I remember correctly. And then eventually they come out. Remember they make the trade where they trade Donato and they get Coyle, and that helps start turning things, and then they do the Johansson trade. Are we there again? Maybe. But it's not just been one or two or three games. It's been a lot now. And while I still like this team in many ways, they are heavily criticized right now for despite being one of the best teams in the league, because it's becoming a little too much. It's becoming more of a feel thing as we look at this team now. We know they need something. So I got to imagine if we know they need to do something, that Donnie and his staff know it. They do. They're bright hockey people. And so that, I think, has to be the next move coming out of this break.
It's the thing that we've been talking about for a while, like you said, Billy. And look, I fall into that, too, because I look back to last year. I'm like, oh, who was the worst team in hockey in the Western Conference last year? So you can easily convince yourself it doesn't really matter, you know, what you're necessarily playing like or where you are in the standings. But it's a horrible precedent to set for other teams to say, like, even if we get down three goals to these guys, or even if we're down a goal or two late, it doesn't matter. That's a horrible feeling to instill in the team you're going to be playing tomorrow night.
No question about it. You know, even though teams come in, and I talk to every opposing team's coaches and players when they come in, and everybody has an awful lot of, they admire what the Bruins are. And trust me, you know, hockey people don't give you BS. There's still that thing where coaches can say in the back of their mind, to your point, Hardy, when their team is down a couple, like, hey, guys, we've seen this team burp up leads the last few weeks. Let's not think that we can't come back. You're right. And there's a confidence there. And it just becomes the eye test, the sniff test, so to speak. You know what I mean? The smell test.
Like, yeah.
You just want the team, which you know is good, you know has some special players on it, you know that they need to be a little bit different now. And that's just, that's announced, that's okay if they're like that. They just need to do something, and I can't imagine that they won't do something. You know, look, they just made a move. They brought up Jeremy Lauzon just a few minutes ago. They announced that from Providence. You know, Bruce Cassidy wasn't happy with John Moore, you know, the other day, helping give up a goal. Look, he wasn't happy with Charlie McAvoy either, and some of his other defensemen. So now this is what they can do today. They can bring up another kid, they can put him in, and they can say, hey, look, you guys, you know, we got a great core here, but you guys need to earn your ice time.
When the team demoted David Backes, do you think that they were someone hoping he would choose to retire when that happened?
I don't think they were hoping that he would retire. I think they owe him, and they did give him the respect of talking with him and saying, this is where we're at, this is what it's come to. My guess is that they, you know, look, they understand that this is a huge moment for somebody, Beadle, who has earned that right and has earned his career reputation as a, he was a bruiser for 12 years, really, you know. And I don't think they're hoping that he was going to retire now. I think what they will look at is after this season, if you play it out and David doesn't get called back up and he does, you know, who knows how he plays, if he plays in the American League, then maybe there will be over the summer some consideration of that. But that's it's a huge amount of money for anybody to give up and retire. It's six, you're talking six. It's a big nut of money.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I was just wondering if maybe there was some of that going on because there's got to be some sort of personal pride there when that happens to you after the amount of time you've played, what your contract is, what the expectations were when they signed, a $30 million deal with David Backes. Yeah, if you retired, right, they're off the hook. They don't have the money anymore.
You're right. And if are you going to be willing? And you know, look, there have been other players that have gone to the American League. Wade Redden is a guy. I believe his hit was $6 million as well. I could be off, so forgive me if I'm off by a couple of hundred grand. He went down and played in Hartford, and he played. And you know what? You're never going to make that $6 million. Let's say it's six even. You're never going to make that six up somewhere else, most likely.
No, you're definitely not.
And therefore, I wouldn't blame anybody for if that's what they decided, if that was something to do, if they wanted to go do it. Yeah, you know what? Maybe I start morphing into a player coach. Maybe I learn a little bit about management, maybe whatever. But if that's what it's going to take care of my family for $6 million more, hey. And maybe he goes down there if he decides. And again, I think they're going to wait till after the break, Beetle, to see what happens. Maybe he goes down there, he plays well enough that, you know, maybe there's another opportunity somewhere for him.
All right, Billy. Appreciate the time. Hopefully the Bruins straighten out their issues.
Yeah, they need this one tonight on just on a personal level. They need it tonight. Going to the break, feeling better about yourself.
All right, Bill.
Billy, we'll talk to you soon.
See you, nut.
You got it.
Bye. All right. Billy Jaffe of Nesson joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
Bill.
Bob. Mark.
Scotty.
Jim. James. Scott.
Your middle name must be Scott.
Nope. I bet your first name is. We got a live one here. You knew it right away. I knew it right away, too.
Shaughnessy will be with us. He's going to be in studio after these headlines. No commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.